So I was at the park with a girlfriend of mine. She has kids like the same age as mine, which is the best. You guys should try and synchronize your pregnancies. It's a good idea. So we went, and my son is six, and his best buddy was there, and my daughters were there, and her second son was there. They were having a fun time, and we were chatting, and they're running around, because we are just now entering the ages where our kids can kind of run around the park, and I don't have to make sure they're not dead. So that was fun. So they were running around and having fun, and they got like the good kind of sweaty, like pink face, and they had a great time. We get in the car, and then all my kids took their shoes off. And my car smelled horrible, like so bad. And then they start saying things to me, "Mom, why does our car smell so bad?" Because of your feet, my friend. Like, it has nothing to do with me. I am not disgusting. So it smelled terrible in my vehicle. And so repeatedly, these three children are like, "It just smells yucky. It smells like a bathroom." I know. I'm also in here. It's terrible. I want to leave. Let us get home. So I get home, and I get this text message from my friend, and she goes, "So, Evan," which is her oldest, "made a confession that when they were at the park, William, my son, found a mystery bag." Gross. "And he picked it up and poop fell out." No. It's gonna get good, friends. Poop fell out. "And Evan and his brother started chanting, 'Step in it, step in it.'" And Will's like, "Chanting, okay." And he just like stepped in it. And the twins are like, "That looks like fun." So they step in it. They brought poop into my car, also with their stinky feet. So I turn on my children after reading this text message, and I was like, "Did you find a bag at the park?" "Oh yeah, it had poop in it." What? "Yeah," and then one of my twins, who's like just honest, like immediately, she's like, "Brother stepped in it. Evan was telling us we should, so we did." And I was like, "Why? No." So I started to have a conversation with them, and my son's like, "Am I in trouble?" And I was like, "Well, no." He's like, "Sounds like I'm in trouble." I was like, "Well, no, we need to learn a few things. Here's a few life lessons. Don't play with mystery bags." It's like a blanket. I don't know that I need to qualify that. In any stage of your life, at 38, don't play with a mystery bag. When people are chanting things, that does not mean you have to do them. Chanting does not equal obedience. I mean, it sounds like, "Step in, okay, 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 okay." No, no. Think about what they are chanting. Say no to the chanting. These are valuable life lessons. Oh my gosh. So, my car smells like feet and poop. You're welcome. I've cleaned it since then, so it's fine now. You guys, it is almost May. It is almost May. There are bathing suits for sale already. What is happening? We are quickly approaching summer. Although in Southern California, I think everybody thinks that we just live in the summertime, right? We kind of do, not really. It's very confusing weather-wise right now. I never know if I'm gonna be, if I need a tank top or pants or what's happening. But we are quickly approaching summer. And as moms, everybody gets a little sweaty and stressed out because Mops is gonna take a break. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? We're gonna take a break over the summer. Any women's Bible studies that you go to at church, they're gonna take a break. All the giant kids from school are gonna be out of school, and you're gonna take your kids to the park, and they're gonna trample your small children. And trample them. I showed up for a park play date one time with some of my girlfriends, like at the beginning of the summer, and as I'm pushing my giant, this was when my twins were tiny, my giant, like, double-decker stroller to the park, a bus from the YMCA pulled up, and I was like, "Lord Jesus, protect us." Like, I don't, there's two, like, I have very small children. There is an army exiting a bus, and they're all gonna kill my kids. Summer is supposed to be fun. Do you remember when you were a kid and you thought summer was so fun? Do Do you remember this? And I feel like we've been sold a bill of goods also, right? Summer is amazing. There's sunshine. Every commercial you see, there's like fun people having fun things. There's like pictures of women by a pool with a beverage, with a cute hat, with self-tanner or something. You know, this is what we picture of summer. And when you're a kid, you just picture riding your bikes all the time. You don't have any homework. You're just going to hang out with your friends. It's like the Sandlot all the time. Not really, because I didn't play baseball, but something like that. I thought as a kid that summer was the best, right? Because there was no school, and I would just do as my little heart pleased. And I also thought as a kid that being an adult was awesome. Because, right, if you're an adult, ice cream and cartoons, what however much you want, correct? That's the assumption when you're 9. It's actually more like kale and taxes. That's what adulthood is like. So when I thought about summer as a grown-up, my thought was, summer is awesome, being a grown-up is awesome, ergo, summer as a grown-up is the best ever. It is not. It is not. I still have to take care of my kids. Do you know what I spend all summer doing? Having people climb on me. That is what I spend all summer doing. I just change locations. It's at the park. It's at the beach. It's at a vacation home. It's on a road trip. It's just covered in people. That's what my summer is like. That's not cartoons and ice cream. That's not what I thought when I was 9. But the reality for summer for the most of us is that we have to take a break from some things that we don't want to take a break from. And then we have to keep things that we wish we could take a break from. Do you know what I wish I could take a break from? My responsibilities, my limitations, and my pressures, right? I wish I could take a break from my responsibilities. We are planning a family road trip. It is supposed to be a vacation. That is a lie. That is false advertising. I have a girlfriend who stopped calling them vacations. She said, until we are in a phase of life where I am not responsible, I am going to call them adventures. Because anything could happen on an adventure. If my kid pukes in a car, of course, it's an adventure, right? Anything could happen. I expect there possibly to be vomit, maybe something spilled, a flat tire. Anything could happen, it's an adventure. But if it's a vacation, I would like to sit and do nothing. I would like to have no responsibilities. But that doesn't happen. I still have my responsibilities. I am booking every hotel. I am packing everything. I am doing all the laundry. And then when we get back, I am going to have to do all the laundry and unpack all the things and put everything back. I'm going to have to reassemble my life after a vacation. I want to take a break from these responsibilities, but that is not something I could do. I would like to take a break from paying bills. I would like to pay, all of these are responsibilities you cannot take a break from. I would like to take a break from my limitations. I would like to have unlimited funds to go anywhere I please. That is not a reality for me. If that is for you, I will give you my number. We can be friends. I have limited funds, so I can't just go and do all the things I want. I can't send my kids to every single VBS. I can't send them to all the camps. I can't, you know, do everything that they want to do, all the things to their heart's desire. I have limited funds. I have limited time, right? I can't do everything that I want to do and be everywhere. I also have limited abilities. I have a limited ability. We don't like to admit this. We have limitations on our abilities. We have limitations on our circumstances. Nap schedules are a limitation. I don't know how you deal with this. I have a few friends that are just like, oh, well, my kid's going to sleep in the car. My kids never slept in the car. My kids just got more awake and crazy-eyed. You know, people would say, like, if they're tired, they're asleep. No, you just look at my kids and their eyes would just be like, and just, like, stare more. I would have to take them into our room and make all of the things. It was dark and whoosh, and here's your blanket, and, you know, do like a dance, like a sleep dance or something. I don't know. There was like a lot of a ritual to get them to sleep. I was a slave to the nap schedule for many years because we needed to make it happen, or they were going to lose their marbles and I was going to lose my marbles. We're a slave to the nap schedules. We also have the limitations of our kids' personalities. So I take my kids to the library a lot. We're a library family. I've mentioned that to some friends, and they look at me like, I would never take my children to a place with racks of books they could knock over. Why would I do that? That is just asking to be on the news, to be like, local woman showed up with children. Now, like, the library has been burned down. Like, that's not, they have zero interest in that. I don't like to take my kids to the beach, which is unfortunate because we live in Southern California, and there's a lot of those. But my kids just like sit and then they bathe in sand. They just like rub it into all of their crevices as like purposefully as possible. Which one is very awkward to watch at the beach. Like, calm down with as like your sand love. Like, it's weird. But also, I'm scrubbing sand out of them for a long period of time and out of my car. I have no interest in that. Here is a book. You know what I mean? We have limitations on our kids' personalities, what they like to do, what we like to do. These are limitations. I wish I could do without these limitations. I also wish that I could take a break from pressures, from the pressures of being a woman, from, hello, welcome, it's May. You are not tan enough, young enough, thin enough. You gave up on your New Year's resolution too early. You should have been working on it because now it's time for a beach body. That's what you were supposed to be working on for the last 4 months. And Target is here to remind you with all the new, you know, swimsuits that they have displayed. These are things that the pressures that we feel. We feel these pressures, social pressures, to give our kids a precious, wonderful summer, childhood memories. We're going to print out a bucket list and take pictures, do an Instagram photo challenge to make sure they have the most fun summer ever. And we have it recorded in our chat books or whatever. We feel the pressure to live up to other people's summers. If somebody else's kid is going to sports camp, maybe my kid is supposed to go to sports camp. I didn't know kids were supposed to go to sports camp. I didn't know that they were supposed to go to VBS to learn about Jesus. I didn't know. We start to like compare and feel these pressures. I would like to take a break from that. But what I don't want to take a break from is some of the things that are really helpful that we have to take a break from. Structure, accountability, and focus. When we have a regular meeting like MOPS, or like our women's Bible study, or our kids have a schedule of school, or of, you know, preschool, or a mommy and me class, all of these things that for some reason take a break over the summer, we have structure to our lives. It makes things a lot nicer. We know what we're doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It helps us to get through the week. And then during the summer, there's like this abyss. I remember when I first had my son, he's an August baby. So I was able to kind of jump in and start like, oh, I'm a new mom and I can sign up for a Bible study and I can sign up for MOPS. And I made it through like the whole school year. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, the mom stuff doesn't keep going during the summertime? What am I going to do? Nothing. I was going to be so super bored and look at my kid like, I don't know, what do we do? Because there's no library story times because they're doing all this stuff for older kids. Like, everything, why does everything get canceled? World, I need structure. Do things for me. But we lose that structure that helps us, our weekly meetings, our you know, the school schedules that keep, you know, our life kind of structured and help us to stay connected with other people. We also lose the accountability. We lose the accountability. You know, you come to a MOPS group like this, or you go to a Bible study, and you meet with people regularly, and you feel like, maybe I should do my Bible study homework if I'm going to show up to Bible study. Maybe I should think about how to be a better mom if I'm going to come to MOPS and talk about being a better mom. You know what I mean? Like, you have these touch points with people, and it gives you accountability to stay focused on the things that you prioritize. And because of that, I lose focus on my priorities. Because I lose structure and I lose accountability, I lose focus on my priorities. My son, we call him our absent-minded professor, and he hasn't done this in a while. There's this long period of time I was trying to train him to go do one thing. You know, you're old enough now, I'm gonna look at you and say, go to your room, change your clothes, and return downstairs. What are we doing? Eye of the tiger. You're going to your room. You're gonna change your clothes. You're gonna come back to this location. And he would disappear. And nobody knew where he was. And it would be silent, and I have no idea. And I would go and find him with no pants on in the wrong room reading a book. You are half-clothed. Did you feel a draft? This is not what you are supposed to be doing. He would just be like, no pants on, like, I'm just reading about dinosaurs. Like, for how long have you been here? What were you supposed to be doing? Oh, I'm supposed to be putting my clothes on. I totally do that. I don't have structure. I don't have accountability. I know what I'm going to do. I'm gonna do this myself. I'm gonna go. This is my plan for my summer. And I end up scrolling Facebook for the whole summer over here. What happened all summer? I don't know. I was on Instagram watching stories all of 2018. I got distracted. I left my pants on, praise Jesus. That was helpful. We lose focus because of the lack of structure and accountability. So how do we make the most out of our summer break? Well, we need to prepare. We need to think about it. And we don't need to prepare in a Pinterest-perfect way. We don't need to go on Pinterest and find out how to make the best family summer, how to plan all the activities to keep your kids busy. I mean, that might be good, but I'd like to challenge you guys to prepare and to make the most out of your summer in another way. First of all, we need to reflect. This is rough. When was the last time we reflected on anything, moms? We have a hard time thinking, sitting, and thinking a thought. But I think now is the perfect time because we're not fully into May, we're not fully into the summer months yet. We need to think now and reflect. What did we learn this year? How do we grow? What would we like our summer to be about? Because you get to choose. Did you know that? Because there's a lot of pressures on women. And there's a lot of cultural, social chatter. And we have a lot of subconscious beliefs that we don't recognize in ourselves. And we start to follow along with like what everybody else is doing just because that's what's happening around us. But you get to pick what your summer is about. You get to reflect and think if you would like for it to be the summer of self-care. Would you like it to be the summer where you go on dates with your husband every week? Would you like for it to be the summer where you have a consistent girls' night out every week? You get to pick. Just because people are talking about how to keep your kids busy and not kill each other during the summer does not mean that has to be your focus. Please don't let them kill each other. I would like that. Don't tell anyone that the MOP speaker said, I am allowed to let my kids kill each other. Don't do that. But you get to pick. Just because there's other conversations about how to get through the summer, you get to choose what your summer is about. So spend some time reflecting on what is the best version of summer for you as a person. And I think that that's hard a lot for women because we think as moms, we're supposed to make it the best summer for our family. We're supposed to make it the best summer for our kids. We are here to serve and put others first. Let me tell you what I have continued to learn over and over when I put myself last. When I am the best version of myself and I put self-care first, my kids get a better mom. But when I'm telling myself I need to put them first, they get a grouchy mom that is spent, that is too spent to be nice and fun. It seems counterintuitive. But take some time and reflect on what you've learned this year at MOPS, who you've connected with, where your marriage is at, where your family is at. In the next few months, where would you like to be by December? In your relationship with your kids, in your relationship with your friends here at MOPS, in your relationship with Jesus as a person. Make like a summer mission statement of what it's going to be about, and it does not have to be about entertaining your kids. Second, release. Make the most out of your summer by releasing. Release control. Release commitments. Release yourself from obligations and expectations. Let go, as Elsa would say. Let it go. You can let go of these things. This is a perfect time because a lot of stuff is stopping. A lot of stuff is stopping. And even if you don't have kids in school, there's a lot of things in the community and other people's lives that are just coming to a stop for summertime. And you can take stock, you can reflect first, and then decide what to release. I read this really great book by John Acuff called Finish. It's about how to like achieve specific goals and things like that. There's a chapter that was really helpful for me just in life. Because he talks about deciding what you're going to bomb. What we do in life is we think that we need to take more stuff on. We want to be able to do it all. We want to be all things to all people and also be skinny and cute while we do it. Right? That's what we feel like is our job. You don't have to do that. In fact, if you want to focus on a specific thing, you need to realize that it's going to take energy and time and bandwidth from other stuff in your life. So instead of, say, for example, so he was talking specifically about writing a book. He wanted to get through writing a book. So what he decided is, my yard is going to look like crap because I'm not going to spend energy and time mowing my lawn because I'm going to write a book. As women, we need to decide for ourselves, because what ends up happening is we think, I'm going to just juggle everything. I'm going to juggle everything. And our main priority is maybe, you know, being present for our kids, having fun. But then we realize that our house is a mess. Oh, why can't I keep up with laundry and be fun with my kids? You can't do all the things. So why don't you decide, before something falls through the cracks, you pick what you want to fail at. Right? I mean, it sounds funny, but pick. It'll give you so much more freedom because you got to let something go. If you're going to be a super fun mom, don't do Whole 30 right now. I'm going to go on a super restrictive diet, but also be really happy and have fun with my kids. Negative, Ghost Rider. You're going to be mad all the time because they're eating carbs in your face. Don't do that. You pick, and you know what? You will feel less overwhelmed because you'll feel a semblance of control. Like, instead of turning around and being like, I only made it to day 4 of Whole 30. What's my problem? What's wrong with me? Decide ahead of time. Now might not be a Whole 30 time. When I have my kids in my face all the time and I have to hang out with them and try and be fun, this might not be the best time to try and get down to 7% body fat. You know what I'm saying? You pick. Maybe this is a time where you're not always on top of the laundry. But you know what? What'll happen is you knew that ahead of time, so when you looked at the laundry, you were like, hey, I decided not to do you right away. It's fine. We're good. Release your expectations of yourself. And if you are the one that chooses what you're going to fail at in order to focus on other things, then you won't be so hard on yourself. So spend time reflecting and then decide what to release. Also, to make the most out of your summer, make sure that you reconnect. Reconnect. This is a great time to reconnect with God. And it sounds sort of funny because maybe you've been in a Bible study all year. Maybe you've been in MOPS and and heard people talk about Jesus and been coming to this church and kind of been curious about it for this entire school year. It's like, why am I reconnecting with God? Here's what happens. At the beginning of September, every time I sign up for a new like school year of Bible study or I sign up for a new, I'm super excited. I have all my new pens. I went to like Office Depot or Amazon or whatever. Why did I say Office Depot? I don't go in a store ever anymore. I had Amazon bring me the things that I wanted to my home. And I got all my new things and I was so excited and I did all my Bible study homework every single day and I was so excited in September. And now we're heading into May and I don't know where my Bible study book is. I don't know. Maybe I should be doing it. Who knows? This is a great time to go, okay, whew, Jesus, we need to connect again. Now, we don't always think of that because there's not a new study to sign up for. There's not the accountability. But this is a perfect time for us to focus on that personal relationship with God. It's also a great time for us to reconnect with people that we don't always see. You know, I'm sure that you have friendships with people who can't come to MOPS. A friend that doesn't have kids yet, or a friend that has older kids. Think to yourself those people that you would like to reconnect with on a deeper level, that you would like to figure out how to spend time with. But really, over summer, reconnecting with God is one of the most powerful things we can do. It will help you survive summer with your kids. When there are hot days and they are sweaty and everybody is grouchy and they were supposed to take a nap and they did not, and you do not know what you're going to do with yourself, and your husband is not coming home fast enough, those last hours between 2 p.m. and 5:30 are the longest hours in America waiting for somebody to come home. You need Jesus in those times. But what happens when we are really busy during a time period, like during the school year when we have a lot of stuff on our schedule, is we'll try and spend time with God and we'll be like, okay, God, I'm going to pray, spend time with you. I just need to remember these four things that I need to get at the grocery store later, but also I'm here though, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm with you. But what I'm going to actually pray about is that you help me remember it's crazy hair day next week and I have to help my son mentally prepare for that. We have too many things that we are juggling, and so we can't really stay focused on God. So when we have a break over the summer is a perfect time because we don't have as many things on our schedule. Hopefully we have reflected on some of the things that we want to focus on. We have released some obligations and let them go, and now we have a little time and space and mental energy to really reconnect with God. And not making our time with him so much about fulfilling an obligation. Well, I need to read this because I'm in a women's Bible study. Well, I need to pray because we've been talking about it at MOPS. But why do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? Is it for Jesus? Or is it because it's what everybody around you is talking about? Get back to a place during the summertime where your time with God is about him. Because you don't have a meeting, you don't have anything else that is driving you except the need for him. I've been trying very painfully slowly to teach my kids this thing, and it's terrible, and you guys are going to feel me. My kids will do this thing where we're in the house and they'll just say, now my son does it. He used to just shout like an actual question, but now he just goes, thirsty! What? Like he's dragging across a desert, thirsty! Like you're sitting on the couch in Southern California, you're not dehydrated and dying. He's just like, thirsty! And so I will say to him, were you talking to someone? Is there a person? Is there a person that you were addressing? You. Okay, I have a name. What is my name? Mom. Okay. Mom, what? Mom, what? Mom, I'm thirsty. That is a good statement. Would you like to ask me a question? Mom, can I have a glass of water? Yes, you can. I believe in you. Do you know where the water cups are? Yes. What are you going to do with that information? So he gets up and he'll go get a cup from the water, and he'll go get himself water, and he'll walk, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to prepare myself to do that in another 5 minutes. This is how we're walking through this situation. What I would like to do is train my kids to feel thirst and not look to me to solve a problem. To feel thirst and go, and get themselves a water. And I look over and be like, you are drinking water and we did not discuss it. So I don't want to talk to you about water ever again. Just stop this conversation. One thing that we can do this summer in the absence of structure is begin to notice our thirst for God. Because nobody is giving us a glass of water every Tuesday. Nobody is giving us a glass of water every Wednesday morning or every Thursday night when we're at a small group. We can begin to recognize our thirst and walk ourselves to our Bible and open it up and turn on some worship music and spend time with Him and listen to a podcast or listen to a sermon. Reconnecting with God during the summer is extremely powerful for our relationship with Him because it comes from our intrinsic drive. We start to listen and feel the Holy Spirit saying, you need Jesus. And it's not just because it's Tuesday morning and that's what you're supposed to be doing on your schedule. Reconnecting with God is one of the best things we can do during the summer. We can also reach out. Reach out. Now, as moms, busy moms with young kids, we think, I don't need another thing to do. I don't need another thing to do. I don't need more. I thought you just told me to release things on my schedule. Why are you telling me to add things, like reaching out? There's this fascinating study done in the 70s at Princeton Theological Seminary. What they did is they got together a number of theological students, and they brought them all together in a room. And they told them, they split them into these groups. And some of them had to prepare a sermon on the Good Samaritan. And some of them had to prepare a sermon or presentation on another part of the Bible. So the Good Samaritan people, what do they have on their top of mind now? They're thinking about what it means to ignore those in need. What it means to who are the true followers of God that notice people's needs and overlook, you know, who they are or where they're from and step in and serve them. So they have sacrificial service on their mind. They're studying it. They're preparing a sermon for it. So they have all these men and women in this room. And they tell them in different groups that you're going to need to go to this other place across campus to give your presentation. Some of the people, they told, like, you need to get out of here. You are already late. Some of the people, they said, like, you have a little bit of time. And some people are like, take all the time in the world. You guys take a whole day. It's fine. So they set them up in different levels of internal hurriedness. And they placed a person on campus that looked like he was in obvious need. So they sort of recreated the Good Samaritan. There was a fake person. I mean, he was a real person. But he was faking it. But he was supposed to look like he was in obvious need, like he was injured, like he was ill, like he was coughing. Here's the thing about Christianity and myself. I would love to believe that whatever book I'm reading or whatever I'm studying in the Bible, that's going to be what predicts my actions out in the world. If I was studying the Good Samaritan, I would be the best Samaritan, right? Because I'm in it, and I know the story. So those people preparing the sermon for the Good Samaritan, they should have been on it. And we also like to believe that if we have a strong relationship with God, if we're really connected with Him, if we really believe this Christianity thing and we're dedicated, that that should indicate whether or not we're going to step out and serve people. Do you know what the number one indicator was? How hurried the people felt. If they felt like they had to be across campus immediately, only 10% of those people stopped to help that man. Because they were too focused on where they needed to be and when and what they needed to do to notice what was going on around them. When we have some emptiness in our schedule, when we reflect on things, when we release things, God will show us stuff that's going on around us that needs our attention. So summertime is a great time for us to realize that there may be stuff happening around us. There may be ministry, there may be acts of service, there may be people that need us to love on them that are there right now. They might be sitting right next to you today, but we don't notice because we're too busy and focused on other things. And sometimes what we're focused on is a good church thing, right? Like all of the church things that we have on our schedule, on our nighttime group and our Sunday morning group and our Tuesday morning group and our Wednesday morning group. Some of these things are good things, but when they take a break, it allows us to have some space to look around us and realize that there's some needs that are present in our lives that we can step into because we're not so busy, we're not in such a hurry. Lastly, we can really rest. We can really rest. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am super jealous of people that go on fun vacations. You know, my kids have started asking, they're old enough to start asking questions about stuff that I did before I was married or like before I met my husband and stuff. And sometimes I'll start telling them and I'm just like, this is such a depressing story because I will never do this again. I mean, I will someday when you leave, but no, I'm just kidding. But they, you know, they asked me like, oh, you know, where, what countries have you been to? And I was like, well, Dad and I went on this trip. And I'm like, oh, I wish that I was there right now. I mean, I'm jealous. I'm going to be honest. I'm jealous of people that get to go on trips and vacations. I'm jealous of people that get to like just leave the cares of this world, leave their jobs behind, leave their laundry, and just go do things. Like, that's not a reality for me. We're going on a family road trip up the California coast. I have to bring all of my children and all of their things with us. I'm going to put my house in my minivan, and then I'm going to take them to various places and hope that they don't burn every town down as we leave. You hear about just like destruction throughout the California coast at the beginning of May, you know who to blame. I get jealous of these things, but what I am continually learning and continually hearing as I spend time with God is that that is not real rest. And I think especially as moms, because we tax ourselves and we put ourselves as the person who has to do everything. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? We have to do it. We put ourselves last, then we start to think what we need is we need more time for manicures. We need more time for girls' night outs. We need more time to go on vacation. We need to get away from all of this. And those are good things. But that is not real rest. And some of us are driven more this way to not want to slow down. My daughter is like that. My daughter Emma, I still make my kids have like a quiet time in their room. Quiet time. Such a joke. But when they were outgrowing naps, but they still needed an afternoon nap in that horrible time, when they still need it, and I'm trying to convince them, and sometimes they sleep and sometimes they don't, she would do this hilarious thing where she would just like shout protests into the house. She would be laying in her bed, and her poor identical twin sister is trying, like I'm trying to sleep, and Emma's just shouting protests. I don't like to sleep. I am not tired. I don't like being in here. I hate my room. Like, she's just like shouting protests into the sky. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, go to sleep. Sometimes we need to go kicking and screaming. But what we need to do, the only way we can find real rest, is in reconnecting with God, is on allowing Him to bring it into our lives. If you look at Psalm 23, and I'm preparing a talk for another event on this psalm, and I've been really studying it, but even just the first two verses, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me lie down. Some of us need to be made to lie down. And not lie down next to a beach with a margarita. Lie down in quiet pastures with our God. I started reading this fascinating book, A Shepherd Takes You Through Psalm 23, because this is a picture of a shepherd, and a real shepherd takes you through it. And he talked about what it takes for a sheep to sleep. I have never, guys, it's a little humbling to say, I feel like I'm a sheep. And I think we all are. So sheep need four things to be able to really rest. Okay? Sheep are naturally timid. They spook easily. So they need to be free of all fear in order to really rest. We can't manufacture that ourselves, but we try to, right? And then we wonder why we're never really restful, because we're worrying about everything in our world. We're worrying about how our kids are doing, how our marriage is doing, how our friends are doing, if we're putting our kids in the right school, if we're making the right decisions for them, if we're a good enough mom. We worry about all of these things. The only way for us to be free from fear is to trust in God, to trust in our shepherd. Because we are naturally fearful. It's natural for us to worry and see that there are things that are beyond us and worry if things are going to come in and harm us and our flock. We need to be free from fear. Also, there's a social structure in flocks. And sheep cannot rest. I thought this was really interesting. If there's relational friction, they can't rest if there's relational friction and tension in the flock. If there's conflict, or if there's jealousy. This is literally what it says. If there's another female sheep that has a better pasture of land that she's eating on, the sheep get like all mad about it. This is our lives, my friends, right? Like, look at her house, it's so much better, and her husband is always home, and she has all of this help and all of this money, and we're like grouchy sheep, because we're jealous. Because we're jealous, grouchy sheep. We want her pasture land. That looks delicious and amazing. There's margaritas over there. When we have this relational tension of envy or jealousy or comparison, or when we have conflict in our marriages, in our friendships, we cannot truly rest. And those are the types of things that we absolutely need to turn to God for. We need to ask Him constantly to remove this jealousy and envy and comparison from us. We need to look to Him and see how great He is and who He is and the world He's created and go, oh, that gives me so much perspective on her little patch of green. What was fascinating about reading this is that the sheep will start to get all mad and start to butt heads over like these little patches of land, and then the shepherd will show up and they'll all see him and they won't care anymore. And I just thought that was such a beautiful picture of when we turn our eyes to God and we stay focused on Him, and He gives us so much perspective that like, oh, look, there's this huge pasture. He's here. He's going to make sure that I have enough to eat and that I'm fine. I don't have to worry about what she has. I don't have to worry about the conflict that I have. He will help me resolve it. There is a trust in the shepherd. The third thing that sheep cannot really rest is when there's flies or parasites. Okay, so I hope that you don't have flies or parasites. I went through a whole lice situation a year ago with my kids, and I pray no lice over you, my friends. A blessing of no lice. Now I'm itching my head. I'm like terrified because I've been talked about it. But what this translates to in our lives is being free of aggravation, free of pests, of things that bother us, of nuisances, free of things, of small things that threaten our health and our happiness. And those are the kinds of things that we really do need to trust God to take care of, because we don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. We don't know everything that needs to be taken care of at all the time. We need to just give it to God and say, I need you to help me to be protected from unseen circumstances and also from the real things, the million tiny things in our lives that overwhelm us and distract us and threaten to overtake us. I need you to help take care of that because it's too much for me. And lastly, they need to be free of hunger. They need to be free of hunger. They need to know that they are provided for. They need to have this sense that, and that's what's so beautiful about this, is he makes me lie down in green pastures. He has provided a place for his sheep that is perfect. This is the shepherd that we can have relationship with, that we can connect with, that we can learn to truly rest with, is one that is creating the perfect circumstances for us to lay down and sleep and rest. That is real rest. It's not a vacation. It's not getting rid of your kids for a week, although those things are amazing. I will take them any day. But we can cultivate real rest even with crazy kids running around, because we can spend time with God and give him our fear. We can ask him to step into our relational tensions, to our jealousies, to our conflicts. We can ask him to help us with all of the tiny things that bother us and distract us. And we can trust him to fulfill our hunger and our thirst. The way that we're going to make it through the summer together, ladies, is if we spend some time to reflect on what kind of summer each of us wants. Who do we want to be? Where do we want our families to be in September? If we release some of the obligations and expectations we've placed on ourselves or that our surrounding community has on us, we get to decide what we're going to set aside so that we can be who we want to be and have the summer we want to have. If we consciously reconnect with God, listen and feel for that thirst for him and answer that call by going to him. And once we've done that, we can notice what's going on around us, reach out to people that need our help and be the hands and feet of Jesus. But most of all, really rest, knowing that our shepherd is alongside us. That even if we have no family adventures on the schedule, if all we have ahead of us is managing crazy kids for 3 months and maybe never seeing our friends, that we can lie down in green pastures with our God. Because his rod and his staff are what comfort us. Not a week at the beach. So let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for a community like this where we can grow together, where moms who get it can sit next to us and help us feel known and understood. And God, I just pray for the summer ahead, for every woman in this room. It's a difficult time. Our culture tells us to desire vacations and luxury and relaxation of one kind. And yet part of us as mothers are pulled to provide something fun and entertaining and exciting for our children and stay focused on them. And God, I just pray that through all of that, that you would give us clarity. That you would clear it all away, all the expectations, all the social norms, and just give us clarity of what these 3 months could be for us, could be for our spiritual growth, could be for our relationships, could be for our connection with you. Because at the end of it, God, if we have grown closer to you, our kids will have a greater summer. They'll have a better mom. We'll have a more restful summer because we have rested in your arms. And I pray that for each of the women here. A truly restful summer next to their shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.